Chapter 1 Baron Davin Carver braced himself against a solitary oak, long rifle jammed firmly against his shoulder. Hunting sabre cats near the edge of the white waste in autumn was sheer folly. Hunting them alone was stupidity incarnate. A hunter got one shot, and one shot only, against the agile beasts that ruled the waste. They feared nothing, and had in ages past developed a taste for human blood. Experience was Davin's only ally, and he hadn't paid it much heed today. If his shot missed the furtive animal that lurked somewhere in the tall grass ahead of him, he would have no time to fish another bullet from his bag and slide it into the breech loader for a second attempt. The sabre cat would simply run him down and tear him apart. Keeping one hand on the rifle, he removed his finger from the trigger and scratched an itch on his neck. Another foolish thing to do. Sun and wind had tanned and weathered his skin during his frequent trips into the wild. His dark complexion made him perhaps the swarthiest lord in all the peerage of Bittermarch, weathered face aging a 28-year-old into something that looked a few years older. Standing in the cold, the first flurries of the season trickling down from a moody sky, he knew he was taking horrible chances with his life, but the knowledge had no power over his heart. He simply didn't care. He wouldn't have even hunted near the chill of the white waste so close to winter if his marriage hadn't turned his home into something far colder than the numbing breeze from the south that pushed his scent straight toward the sabre cat. His quarry was concealed in the long grasses of the rolling northern plains that had all bent down, brown and brittle, in forced submission to the autumn cold that had stripped them of colour and strength. He knew it was out there. Davin had waited for nearly 15 minutes for it to emerge, the waning day getting darker and colder, along with his thoughts. At any time, the sabre cat could spring and use its massive, razor-sharp teeth to tear his flesh and sever his arteries until he bled out. Violent thoughts of his own brutal demise on an unforgiving plain, miles from anyone, failed to raise any sense of caution within him. He shook his head. Was death really preferable to going home to her cold, passionless expression? "Good evening, Lady Carver," he would say upon his return.
"Good evening, my lord,"
she would reply, gaze fixed through the drawing-room windows to the woods near Frostbourne, a place she hated almost as much as she hated him.
"Did you manage to kill anything?"
"No, but I was nearly gored to death by a sabre cat this afternoon," he might say. "Hmm," she would hum in reply, not really paying attention. How had it all gone so wrong? He had surprised her with musicians all the way from Belshire. He had invited her obnoxious sister and her husband to lodge with them for the summer. He had brought her flowers, written her notes, complimented her incessantly, taken her on trips to every large town within a week's distance so she could shop for the latest fashions. All he got in return was a steadily more practiced smile and an increasingly trite, "Thank you, my lord." He'd even tried to pen a poem. A poem! And there was no way out. While he had grounds to divorce her, he wouldn't do it. Hadn't he disastrously defended her honour while they were engaged? Divorcing her now on moral grounds would make no sense and sully her name forever. He refused to take the advice of his long-time steward, Saunders, and do what every other lord did, take a mistress and be done with it. He did not want to hurt her. He did want her to love him, but she refused to engage him, and nothing he had done changed her feelings. A rustle in the grass 75 yards ahead of him banished his tormenting thoughts for a moment, and he reaffixed the rifle butt to his shoulder. He hadn't even realized he had relaxed his stance. Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. Did he want the sabre cat to take him down and kill him? Be calm. Stay focused, he thought to himself, trying to clear his head of Lady Carver. The flurries had nearly thickened enough to be called snow. It was late in the day and he needed to get home before the temperature plummeted. There was no leaving now, however. If he turned to head back to where he had staked out his horse in the protected enclosure, the sabre cat would take him down in an instant. Either he killed the cat, or the cat killed him. And then it came. The hungry predator exploded from its hiding place and tore at him like a fierce mountain gale. Ears pinned back, the tawny sabercat whipped through the grass, yellow eyes wide and focused, curved incisors dripping in anticipation of a fresh meal to pass a cold evening. Davin sighted down the barrel and waited for the large carnivore to get close enough for a surer shot. The intervening grass complicated his aim. 50 yards. 40 yards. At 30 yards he exhaled and squeezed the trigger, aiming just below the head, where the sabercat's heart beat furiously and air swelled its lungs. All he got was a harsh blink and a wisp of black smoke from the barrel. A misfire. Instinct ordered him to retreat behind the wide bole of the bare oak tree, pull the knives he'd fashioned from the teeth of a sabercat he'd killed 2 months earlier, and hope against hope to do enough damage to scare it away. Running was pointless. Clearing the bad cartridge and reloading was too slow. But instead of panic, a strange calm settled over him like a warm blanket, and he dropped his rifle into the lifeless grass at his feet. He had made an amateur hunter's mistake, and that mistake was the perfect excuse to bring his suffering to an end. Stepping out from behind the tree, he closed his eyes, extended his arms, and waited for the sabercat to send him to the warmth and light of the eternal flame. Lady Carver would be free. He would be free, too. On its first pass, the sabercat blasted him to the ground with a heavy hit to the midsection. He landed hard on his back in the dense grass, the impact evicting the air from his lungs. Again, instinct told him to move, to attempt to save his own life. Again, his heart and his will simply refused. In an instant, the sabercat returned. Davin kept his eyes closed, listening as it rustled the grass nearby and finally settled over him. Its hot breath warmed his chilled face, and the tips of his claws dug into his skin where a single paw compressed his chest and made it difficult to breathe. Where would it start to tear into him? He waited. And waited. The sabercat's breathing gradually slowed, and Davin swallowed hard and kept his eyes squeezed shut. Playing dead did not work with sabercats. They would eat anything in times of feast or famine. The beast had to bulk up for the winter now or risk death itself, so why wasn't it chewing him up or toying with him? He had seen a sabercat play a gruesome game with a pronghorn for nearly 30 minutes before puncturing its neck and ending it. Perhaps the cat was bored, and hoping his lordly catch would provide some squirming entertainment before finishing him off. Davin opened his eyes. It stared unblinkingly at him, golden irises almost seeming to glow in the weakening light. Perhaps all it wants is acknowledgement, he thought. It had won. It wanted him to show it. Davin met the sabercat's primitive, powerful gaze for an agony of time, wondering what it was waiting for. The longer the odd scene played itself out, the calmer Davin felt, at least until the sabercat lifted its head and bellowed into the wind, a horrible sound that chilled him to the bone. It turned its head toward him again and with one powerful swipe of its claws cut 3 lines down the length of his sternum, shredding his shirt and slicing completely through the strap of his ammunition pouch. Davin howled in pain, his hand reflexively clutched at the stinging wounds. Now I die. His mind seemed to detach from the scene around him, and he closed his eyes again, hoping the sabercat would be quick. But the expected mutilation never came. The warm breath on his face was replaced by the cold breeze and the chill pricks of snowflakes on his skin. The grass rustled as the animal stepped away. Dumbfounded, he struggled to sit upright, opening his eyes to find the sabercat calmly padding back toward the white waste, tail swishing back and forth. What game is this? Keeping one eye on the sabercat, he slumped against the oak and grabbed his gun, clearing the bad cartridge. He reloaded as quickly as he could. The snow fell thick now, and he knew he had to leave, but he feared moving might attract the sabercat's notice again. So he waited. Do I value my life again? He wondered bitterly. He couldn't keep his mind or his heart straight. But as he sat and listened to the breeze bend branch and grass, an odd idea trickled into his mind. A solution to his awful marriage inspired by what he had just experienced. At first, He dismissed the unorthodox, preposterous notion, but the more he turned it over in his head, the more he realized he could pull it off. And so, like the odd person whom long familiarity makes normal to us, the idea became more comfortable and more comforting the longer he considered it. He would have to sacrifice many things to accomplish his design, but nothing on the list did he count too dear if it meant freedom from unrelenting misery. A blast of cold air reminded him he needed to move. He stumbled as he rose, the cuts on his chest searing him with pain. Dirty claw marks, not deep, but painful and easily infected. Fortunately, Saunders could wash and mend the wounds, a skill from his infantry days. As he jogged the mile back to his horse, he felt a bitter sting that his wife would be the last to care that he was late arriving home. Her indifference always hurt, but his newfound plan brought him a renewed sense of hope. At last, he would give her the one gift she would utterly adore and never have to thank him for. He would give her his death.